Welcome, everybody. It's 1:30, and we're going to get started. Welcome to our meeting before our annual meeting coming up. Do we have a quorum, Mr. Baker?
We do.
Okie doke. First item on our agenda is audience participation. Do we have any audience participation?
We do not.
Awesome. Okay. In your packet, we have attachment 2A, which is the meeting minutes of August 8, 2024 meeting. Do we have any revisions, any changes to the meeting minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Chair Whitman.
Second.
So we have a motion to approve the minutes. We have a first and a second. All in favor to approve the minutes of August 8, 2024, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next on the agenda is our staff reports. This will require a motion. In your packet is attachment 3A, the financial progress report. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have begun the new fiscal year as of July 31st. You can see we spent about 6% of the budget. I believe I mentioned last time we are in the process of hiring a new GIS technician and hoping to fill possibly another role within the next year. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Baker? Hearing none, a motion is required to accept the financial progress report. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Who seconded that, please? Did someone over there second that? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So we have a motion and a second for the financial progress report. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. All right, next on the agenda, there is no attachment, but it's the technical progress report. Mr. Stewart.
Okay, thank you. Hello, everybody. So we have another long mail packet again, this time 280 pages, but a lot of good stuff that we're finishing up. Planning data forecast, transit report, and our freight report. We're also going to be talking about our draft CMP. So these are all input documents, and that kind of leads me to my next point. If you were at TAC last week, Director Baker talked about how, you know, we're getting to that point where we're starting to talk with communities and agencies about Outlook 2050, our next regional transportation plan. So I would really like to set up times. Feel free to talk with me after the meeting. If not, I'll probably be calling or emailing many of you. But just to set up meetings over the next next month or two to get a sense of what your priorities are for your community or agency. We have a good idea of that with a lot of you, and a lot of our input documents kind of help inform that anyway. But we think it's time well spent to sit down and talk with the communities and agencies. Couple of funding things to bring up. First of all, I mentioned it last week at TAC. I did hear on a webinar or a meeting the other week about a special solicitation for some through ODOT for some pedestrian and bicycle funding, mostly for short-term, easily implementable projects, also some data collection efforts, things like that. So just wanted to reiterate the heads up on that. If you need more information, I don't have a whole lot more, but I can talk with you after the meeting. We expect to hear something in the next few weeks about that. The other thing, just a huge congratulations to the city of Akron and the city of Fairlawn. We've talked a lot about Safe Streets for All over the last 2 years. We had those two communities apply for continuing planning funds to kind of refine recommendations that came out of our action plan last year, but looking at doing some of the things that they would like to do and just need to flesh them out a little more. But both of those were funded. The awards did just recently come out. Still that very strong focus on multimodalism. Nearly all of the successful applications across the country in involved, but very, we're very like fundamentally centered around bike and ped improvements, transit improvements. So it's just a funding source that I would really recommend anyone who is serious about that kind of stuff consider for next year or the next funding round. But again, congratulations to Fairlawn and Akron. And the last thing, just in case you've been hiding under a rock for the last month or so, annual meeting, October 11th. We would like to have we're closing registration on October 4th. I'm really excited about the agenda, so we have two things. First, we'll start with after Director Baker's year in review, we'll do a panel discussion, community experiences in planning and building roundabouts. So excited about that. We also have Dr. Dave Kaplan, who is a Kent State geography professor, who's going to be talking. His topic is why making the multimodal city is necessary, fair, and still possible. So really excited about both of those, and hopefully we'll see you all there. And that's all I have. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. All right, so next on our agenda is Attachment 3C, the AMATS Federal Funds Report. Ms. Perry.
Thank you, Larry. So far we have spent zero of encumbrances. We've had zero projects sell. It's not on. So far we've had zero projects encumber. We have some projects in the first quarter that were supposed to expend right-of-way funds, and a couple projects that were construction projects that were supposed to sell in the first quarter. Of course, the quarter ends in a couple days. So if one of these is your projects, please get on that. Make sure that you're staying on track, because we have to ask for loans at the end of this year for pretty much all of our funding sources, and if we don't sell our projects, then it's going to be really hard to get a loan. Also, I just wanted to let you know that our next project review meetings, because our next committee meetings are not until December, so our next project review meetings are November 22nd for District 4. Most of you should have gotten a notice. If you have not gotten a notice, would like to have a notice, would like to be added to the list, don't want to be on the list, need taken off, please see me after the meeting. And then December 5th is District 3's meeting. So if anybody has any questions, please let me know.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. All right, on to old business. We've got the first item for discussion only. For Mr. Baker is the final draft congestion management process report. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I did go over this report in detail at the last meeting, and so I don't want to waste too much wind on it. But we are looking to approve this in December. It is our congestion report where we are looking at what's called free flow speed versus percent congested, basically. How quickly can cars get through roadways when there are no impediments, and then when things kind of start to slow down during the peaks, what does that congestion look like? We did have copies, and in the mail out we provided a PDF that's the full report in its draft form, which includes strategy recommendations for those congested locations. I will say none of the recommendations include any additional capacity widenings. We are looking at mostly operational improvements, as well as demand management, transit improvements, et cetera, that could potentially help alleviate congestion. But really, we wanted to get this full document in front of you, as we'll be asking our board to approve it in December. So I would be happy to answer any questions.
Hearing no questions, we're going to move on to item B, which is attachment 4B, the planning data forecast. And again, that's Mr. Baker. We will require a motion if necessary.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we would staff would recommend approval of our planning data forecast. AMETS looks to project socioeconomic variables out to 2050 as part of our long-range planning process. Purpose of this is twofold. First is to help us with our general transportation planning, have an understanding of where our demographics are going. Second is actually as an input to the ODOT model, which models traffic throughout the state. So as I explained at the last meeting, the Ohio Department of Development does a forecast that goes out to 2050. That forecast was pretty conservative in terms of what looked like a lot of population loss. We felt that, and some people at ODOT as well as the state felt that the projections using the current methodology were a little too negative, and we were encouraged to do a second scenario. That second scenario looks at what we would call more of a current trend scenario, looking back to about 2000 and using those trend lines to sort of project the future. You'll see in the memo as well as in the document that we show both scenarios. The ODOD scenario showed about a 15% decrease in population. We're showing in the current trends at about 0.3% population increase instead of decrease. So we think this is the best way to approach it. ODOT does have an MOU with DOD that requires them to use the DOD in their modeling. Luckily, we don't have to use it for our planning purposes, so that's why we'll have these two scenarios. But with that, I know it's a little bit complex, but I'd be happy to answer any questions, and we do recommend approval of the plan data forecast.
Curtis, how come your numbers why are your numbers higher than...
The biggest thing was that the Ohio Department of Development uses basically pivot tables. They really look at births, deaths, in-migration, out-migration. So it's, you know, both of these projections, I should say, have no subjectivity to them. They're just math. And so their math, especially because it was looking and included the pandemic years, so deaths were up relative to what they have been. And then the last decade of in-migration in Ohio has been incredibly low. So I think I told the TAC that only 60 net in-migration in the state of Ohio from other states or international is 65,000 people over a decade. So that's, you know, 6,000 people are coming. So when they do the math and they also look at, no offense to any baby boomers, but they look at those generational cohorts, the numbers really fall off pretty hard. Our model looks at, hey, you know, not to oversimplify it, but the 2000 census, we were here. 2010 census, we were here. 2020 census, we were here. You know, theoretically, in 2030, we're going to use those regressions to kind of build out where we're going. So that's why you see that big discrepancy. Honestly, if I was going to gamble, I'd guess I'm guessing reality is probably somewhere between the two. But I think from our perspective, you know, we have two decent method for how we're forecasting population.
And on behalf of boomers, I think I might be the only one. No offense taken.
Yeah, okay.
Good question. Do we have any additional questions for Mr. Baker? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the planning data forecast. Do I have a motion?
So moved. Anderson.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Fahrenheit, second.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. We have a motion and a second to approve the planning data forecast. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next one's going to be attachment 4C, our 2024 freight plan. Turn that over to Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everybody. The draft 2024 freight plan was presented at the August TAC CIC and Policy Committee meeting. The report contains an analysis of the region's existing freight system and recommends projects that are eligible for inclusion in the upcoming 2050 Regional Transportation Plan. freight plan analyzes the highway and rail networks of the area, contains updated data and analysis since the last freight plan in 2020, adds assessments of truck parking and railroad quiet zones, contains an analysis of high volume rail crossings. See an example of the map for high volume railroad crossings. Identifies regional job hubs in the area. Here you have an example in the Hudson Stowe area. So we did 16 of those and analyzed those for a number of things, for safety, traffic congestion, and pavement conditions. And we evaluated the freight network's efficiency in those job hubs and recommended strategies to improve freight movements in the AMATS area. The freight plan can be found using the mail out link and is also available on the AMATS website. No comments were received that resulted in changes to the original draft plan that was presented in August. And last week, the staff approved the freight plan, so we are asking that you approve the 2024 freight plan. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. Hearing no questions, do I have a motion to approve and to accept the 2024 freight plan, please?
Finney makes motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second. Sheriff Rittman.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to accept the 2024 freight plan. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item on our agenda will be Mr. Mullen. We'll have the 2024 transit plan in attachment 4D. Mr. Mullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan summarizes the current transit services of the AMATS region and offers goals and strategies that will inform our region's long-range plan. The next five slides basically sum up Chapter 2. We skip over the performance measures chapter because it's really boring, and then we move on to the goals and strategies section. We highlighted the demographics of the region that traditionally show high transit usage. We cover total population, elderly population, minority population, low-income, and careless households. And then we overlaid that with Metro and PARTA's fixed-route services. And you can see in the plan, not so much on this, that the routes go through those heavily demographic or those demographic groups, and that information was used gathered. The information that was used is the 2022 five-year ACS American Community Service data. So next, we looked at coverage, fixed route coverage for the region with each community, and the source of that data is the same as ACS data, and then we estimated total population and population for the quarter mile of the fixed route transit stop for each community, which then equaled the percentage of transit coverage for each community. So the overall coverage of the region is 34%. And communities with larger populations tend to have better transit coverage, as listed here. Some of the smaller communities that offer good transit coverages are Windham, Garrettsville, Hiram, and Mogador, all between 40 and 54% coverage. Next, we looked at ridership. We looked at Metro PARTA's ridership overall and then by individual route. Both Metro and PARTA saw a dip in ridership after the pandemic, which mirrored natural trends. Both hit the lowest point in 2021. Since have recovered over the past 3 years, have had steady recovery. So we looked at fixed route boardings as a measurement for overall ridership and ridership by route. Metro RTA currently offers 24 fixed routes. As of 2019, a little over 5 million boardings, hit their lowest point in 2021, a little over 2.7 million boardings, which accounted for 53% of COVID, pre-COVID ridership. So Metro has since recovered, as of 2023, at 74% of pre-COVID boardings. So Metro's six highest ridership routes make up 54% of the overall boardings. All experienced the same reduction in performance in 2020 and 2021. And in 2021, there were 66% of pre-COVID level ridership. However, as of 2023, those six routes have combined to recover at 97%. So PARTA offers 15 fixed routes. Same PARTA ridership dipped to the lowest point in 2021 with a little over 339,000 boardings, which accounted for 32% of 2019 pre-COVID ridership. And then ridership showed an increase to 54% in 2022 and reached 80% of pre-COVID levels by 2023. PARTA's highest four performing routes, which represent 77% of total ridership. These four routes reached their lowest point in 2021, which was 36% of pre-COVID boardings. As of 2023, have recovered to 89% of pre-COVID levels. If these trends continue, which they have been, we should see Metro PARTA return or exceed pre-COVID levels at the end of this year or into next year. So then we talked about description of the fleet facilities. So we listed some important facility park and ride locations for Metro. And then we talked a little bit about the fleet. Metro deploys an active overall fleet of 222 vehicles. PARTA deploys an active fleet of 62 vehicles. And so we offer a small breakdown of those individual vehicles. Then we talked about the challenges facing transit. So aging America, over the next 5 years, we're supposed to see that peak. So we're likely to see the increase for senior trips, demand response increase. Increased positive transit service that goes up every year, and understanding and adjusting the workforce needs in the area is something that transits weigh those decisions as they come about. Specific investments into larger projects such as TOD and BRT. There have been a couple examples recently. The Gateway, reimagining the Gateway, is the East Main Street project in Kent, which is the City of Kent, KSU, PARTA, and Matt's Build-Out project. Metro PRT feasibility study, which looking at potential PRT service along specific metro corridors. So the last two slides summarize our goals and strategies section, which is the goals and strategies section matrix. The section informs our long-range plans to set goals for transit that will be reflected in the Outlook 2050. We've established six goals that fall into three types of categories: collaboration, funding, and service goals for the for each goal. Each goal is between one and four strategies. And again, you'll find that in part of the goal strategies matrix. So these are the six goals. So invest in programs supporting transit. That's a funding goal. Invest in sustainable fleet facilities and operations, which is funding a service goal. Integrate transit and regional transportation projects, which is a funding collaboration goal. Ensure that transit is an integral part of land use planning efforts, which is a funding and collaboration goal. Optimize transit service, which is another funding and service goal, and increase sidewalk and access to bus stops and shelters, which is funding and service goal. So as you can see, funding is through each and every goal. So then we look, at the end of the report, we highlight some of those federal, state, and local funding opportunities. So that's pretty much it. Anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Mullen. Appreciate that. Anybody have any additional questions for Mr. Mullen on the 2024 transit plan? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the 2024 transit plan.
Mullen, move to approve.
Thank you. We have a motion, and do we have a second to approve the 2024 transit plan?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve Attachment 4D 2024 Transit Plan. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Thank you. Motion carries. Next item is new business. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Baker, do we have any new business?
We do not have any business. We move on to resolutions.
All right. So we've got, I believe, four resolutions on the agenda. Next is Attachment 6A, Resolution 2024-17, approving the fiscal year 2024 year-end completion report. Ms. Rydell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. Each year, ODOT requires AMS to confirm the work proposed in the previous year's transportation planning work program and budget to the work that was completed. Attachment 6A is a summary of the fiscal year 2024 year-end work necessary was completed by the end of the year on June 30th. All work remains within budget. Staff is requesting approval of Resolution 2024-17 to submit the 2024 year-end completion report to ODOT. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Rock. Do I have a motion to approve Resolution 2024-17, please?
So moved, Dan.
I'll second the Sheriff.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve Resolution 2024-17. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Moving on to Mr. Gardner, he will be presenting information in support of Resolution 2024-18, ODOT Calendar Year 2025 Safety Goals.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Agencies like EMS are required to use transportation data to make their investment policy decisions. For decades now, EMS has had funding policy guidelines in place that do use data for project selection. In terms of safety data, this is our 8th year for supporting ODOT Safety Goals. With Resolution 2024-18, the staff is requesting support for ODOT's statewide 2% annual reduction target for all 5 safety performance measures. This is the same as last year's target, in which significant progress has been made. MS agrees to plan and program projects so that they contribute toward the accomplishment of ODOT's safety-related targets, which we already do. And MS agrees to include performance-based decision-making as part of the project selection and funding process, which we have already been doing. So the staff is asking for your approval of Resolution 2024-18. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. Hearing no questions, I'd like to get a motion for Resolution 2024-18, please. Thank you. I have a motion, and I believe we have a second. Thank you. A motion and a second to approve 2024-18. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item is going to be Resolution 2024-19, the CMAQ Performance Plan, Mid-Period Progress Report. A motion will be required from Mr. Gardner.
Chairman, attachment 6C in your packet. The purpose of this resolution is to approve the area CMAQ progress report. The CMAQ plan is a 4-year document that was approved 2 years ago to address congestion and air quality performance issues. This progress report is a halfway point until the next set of performance targets are developed in 2 years. The AMATS area is part of the Cleveland Akron Lorraine non-attainment area and is consequently eligible for CMAQ funding. The attached progress report contains data for peak hour excessive delay, non-single occupancy vehicle travel, project level emissions reductions for CMAQ funded projects. Resolution 2024-19 approves the attached CMAQ progress report, reaffirms the current targets for delay and non-single occupancy travel, reaffirms that AMAS will continue to spend CMAQ money in the area, reaffirms support for ODOT's statewide congestion and air quality targets. It continues to use performance-based planning as part of the project selection and funding process. The CMAQ progress report is included in the mail-out link in your packet and is also available on the AMATS website. The staff is requesting approval of Resolution 2024-19. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. A motion is required for Resolution 2024-19 CMAQ Performance Plan Mid-Period Progress Report. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Treskowski.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Finney, a second.
Bob. We have a motion and a second to approve the 2024-19 resolution. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Baker, do we have any additional other business?
I just want to remind everyone, the annual meeting, October 11th, I was going to plug it by saying that, you know, Deputy Director Mr. Jerry Duro would be there, but he informed me, sadly, that he will not be at the annual meeting. So you'll have to come to see other people, but not Jerry.
But he's here now.
Yeah. So but he is there now.
Toes in the sand?
All right, thank you. Okay, next item is going to be our adjournment. Next regular meeting, obviously, is going to be the 12th of December after everyone except Jerry shows up at the October annual meeting. It'll be all right. It'll be good. Can I get a motion to adjourn, please?
I'll make that motion to adjourn with us.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Wonderful. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No one gets to oppose. Same sign. All good.